Hello, here I am again, talking about this week, the coming bloody revolution in America. You watch it. It's beginning. And I've predicted that since 1987, and I have an article that I've written that at that time. It was really an interview with a journalist. And that journalist was my own magazine, The New Dimensions. And it was huge. And the media, all they had to say is all Roy Masters is a cult leader. And all the advertisers went away, bang. And we had 70,000 already. They were going to Israel, the Congress were reading them, all the rest of it. I've made several tries to step forward. The media comes in, and you know what it does. But I'm here, I'm strong. I helped to build the biggest network in the country, talk radio, second is bigger than ABC. It wasn't mine, I had a little piece of it. It couldn't be mine because I'm a non-profit organization that the foundation, when I say mine, it's the foundation's. So we owned 19 9/10%, so you know, percent of it, because the income was more than there than it was with donations. But that got shut down too. Soros and those kinds of people. And now we're seeing what's really going on besides the scenes, which I had to survive. I'm still here. And have you ever heard of a person, is a person worth more dead than alive? Who was it that was more dead, who was worth more dead than it was alive? Just tell me what you think. Which comes to your mind right away? Hey, Jesus. He did more dead, more for humanity by dying. Martin Luther King did a good job. His spirit went marching on, and then it disappeared, sadly, very sadly. What's left with his legacy is because there's something about black Americans that have been in slavery so long. It's so sad for me to have to say this. But if you look at the TV today, this evening, one of the one of those, I guess I can say Donald Trump, he canceled his appearance in Chicago and made sure that people didn't turn up, but some did. And what you see is the beginning of the end of America. Unless I am worth more dead than alive. I'm 88 years old. I always going to say, I'm not going to die in a bed. I want to die with my shoes on, boots on. And so I will speak in a way that, well, is non-politically correct. It's not really the word for it. It goes deeper than that. And I'm asking you to please pay attention, because what you see going on in Chicago is two kinds of people. And then, according to the information I got today while I was watching just for a few minutes, is that one side there's 59% unemployment. That means what that's really saying in a sort of underground language. There are people on welfare wanting more. And on the other side are the people who like to work and are noble, but they haven't had a raise, they can't find a job. But they want to find a job. But the jobs are getting more scarce and more taxes are being taken from them. But the other side doesn't care. They only want more. They're spoiled. The more you give them, the more dangerous they become. We can talk about this. Why the murder and mayhem is more deeply involved, more plentiful, if not, that's not a good word, is it? But more plentiful will do, because of welfare. And welfare cultivates perversity, degeneration, and loyal to that which has caused the degeneration. In this case, it's the government itself. Okay, we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. If we call, let's call 1-800-866-8883. Why don't you call me and ask me? Oh, that's good. I need some calls tonight because your revolution is beginning.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hey, you got the beginning of a bloody revolution in America. I didn't read, last week, I think it was early last week, or early this week, that I began to read a little bit of an article, and the article was written and recorded by a journalist, and it's 11th, November 11th, 1987, and I read a little bit of it, but I didn't read all of it, but I have predicted exactly this and why. See, what you've got is a revolution. And then you know when you got people who are the revolutionaries, they're the left. But because this time you got revolutionaries on the right, or real Americans. So you got bad Americans, sick Americans, demoralized Americans. And when I don't say it's their fault, they've been demoralized. Somebody did the demoralizing when they were kids. So you can't blame them, but you got to stop them in some way. But there is a human way, humanistic way. I know that's not a very good word. It's associated with other things, but never mind. Let me use it, if you don't mind. There's a humanity, a way of overcoming what is about to happen, because these people want to take, they want the free speech to muzzle other people's free speech. That's fascism. So could we say that our own government is fascist? So it's the fascism, there's two kinds of fascism. There's the Hitler kind of fascism that only them can have the say. It's as politically as correct as you can get, because you get they cut you up in little pieces and chop your head off, or hang you and torture you if you spoke up to the system. It's happening now. The candidate in our subject matter, Donald Trump, I can mention that. I don't tell you whether I want to elect him or not. That's none of my business. I can't do that. But whoever it will be the same, as long as he represents what he represents. And that is not digesting very well to the crazy crowd, the madness that is about to happen in America. So now we need to understand how we can overcome it without some kind of tragedy, without bloodshed. Would you like to know how to do this? Then you have to put me in a position of danger. I want that position of danger where I can speak out and call things as they are. I have been given a gift. I was created for this, Don't you get it? All the trials and tribulations I have come through fine. But I have a gift very close to what Jesus says. There is a gift. It's a gift of redemption for everybody. For those who are about to get angry at the angry crowds of burning your country down. Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to do something to intimidate you. And this is not just one-on-one now. This is what I need to teach you quickly. Show you quickly how to overcome crowds. Crazy, wicked crowds. But they don't know what they're doing. They have been programmed. Hey, Mr. Crowd, you're programmed. You weren't born that way. You were programmed to serve a political whim. You're born that way. Born in Borneo, you'll be a cannibal. But you're not born in Borneo, but you're acting like a cannibal. You want more and more and more of somebody else's money. They work hard. And the people who work hard are less and less and less and less, so they can't even feed their own. But you're addicted to, well, you're addicted to the bully, the one that violated you. Do you know that you who are forming the crowds and robbing other people of their voice, or trying to, it's not going to happen, but it's going to be a lot of bloodshed. And I want to prevent that. I want to prevent that by, well, I'm going to use the word. And it's not exactly reasoning. I could drive those people nuts and make them turn against each other. That's what I'd like to do. But I need radio for that. I need exposure. And that means danger to me. I'm 88 years old. I want to fight for my country. I'm an Englishman that became an American. It took me a long time because I came to America, it was different. Then I saw it disintegrate. Then I went on radio and tried to explain it to people. And then the radio stations got shut down. And then the magazine, New Dimensions, got shut down. With 70,000 people on it already, with salaries over $70,000 on the racks. They shut us down because they wouldn't pay us. And it shut the radio station down, which it was bigger than ABC. Bigger than ABC, can you understand that? Built it from scratch. Not just me, but with the whole team, especially my son. Mark, he's very good at that sort of thing. So, here I am again. And let me start to speak to you. Now, when you call this program, I want to show you that you bear inside you that which has corrupted you. You become the thing you hated, even though you try not to be, and put on a good face and think you've succeeded in not becoming the thing you hate. But hate separates you from, there's a word for it. Hate separates you from redemption. You know what I mean by redemption, to be redeemed of something bad. But it robs you of the innate ability to be redeemed, just as Jesus said it. But that's that whole principle of accomplishing this has disappeared. If I may say so, and I'm going to repeat what somebody else has said, if the Christians of the early years, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 odd years ago, were to appear in America today, the average Christian would persecute them. They're so different. I'm one of those who are there. As a matter of speaking, he's within me talking to you, because I had really decided to talk about something else. But as soon as I got on the radio, And as soon as I saw what was going on, I said, "He, see, there it is. It's going to get bigger and bigger. And this will come to no good unless Roy Masters, the hated Roy Masters, the media hating you, Roy Masters, a lot of people hating Roy Masters, a lot of Christians hating Roy Masters, because he tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about your rotten selves. But now, you're not really rotten. You're basically good people programmed. And that's so therefore, you've got to be careful, you good people, because you're not really not good enough to deal with the bad people who don't know they're bad. They think you're bad. They're programmed that way. And let me say it differently. You become what you hate. So you become a slave, and you know that black Americans have been a slave up till recently, and therefore there is the tendency, and not far from the tendency, from that which corrupted them, violated them, beat them, burned them, hung them, put them on their, I don't know what they call it, plantations. I was looking for that word. So it is a very hard word for me to remember, because a plantation to me is a beautiful place and not a prison. And so we find that people, you've got to go back to that which hated you. You have to go back to the object of your demise since you were born. Because when you come into the world and you go have those bad schools in the inner cities, it's always controlled by what you call Democrats. They're not really Americans. Americans in the inner cities that control black Americans, whether they're white or black, especially when they're white, because that's where they get their information from Moscow and places like that. This is the kind of thing that Moscow and communism, Marxism, is. It's cunning. It takes 70, 60, 70 years to get to the point where we are now, to divide the people. And you divide the people, you make them worthless. See, what they're doing is demoralizing whole bunches of people. And the reason why the blacks began to be, black Americans began to be first, because they were have been slaves here. White people weren't slaves here, they were. And therefore, they owe their allegiance to that which has slaved them. I tell you, and you know, now you're not a slave, but you don't think you're a slave, but you are. You're a slave of your parents, you become what you hated. And you could try not to, if you want to, you can try not to be like your parent, but you become the opposite of it. And so when you become the opposite of a cruel parent, then you become an appeaser. And as an appeaser, you're attracted to a person who's bully. That's it. You're attracted to that person because the bully will come along. And because you're an appeaser, you want to give him, you give in to him as if it was love. Bingo, right there. So you're an appeaser. So you white people or whatever you are, Americans, you tend to be appeasers. Or you could also be bullies. But at least, you've had a better start than black Americans in the inner cities, correct? You had a better start, even though it was lousy. Even though it became rotten. Because slowly but surely what was going on in the inner cities just came into the outer cities, and it's called unions. And the unions, teachers, were communists, chosen specially to destroy your children. That's the reason why, and to demoralize them. Because when you demoralize them, they owe their life to that which has corrupted them. So that which has corrupted them is inside a human being, but it's outside. It is the outside world. And so you have a system where you demoralize a kid, and you teach them that sex is just ordinary sex, just do what you like, it's fun. And you actually demoralize a person. I have something here. Let me see if I can find this while I'm talking. Okay. Here it is. This is what Samuel Adams said. The general dissolution of principles and manners will be more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first internal invader, Samuel Adams. Now, who's understanding a little bit what I'm saying? Now, I got a caller. I could blabber away a lot. But we got a kind of person who is rotten to the core, but they weren't born rotten, and those are the people on welfare. Most of them. And the reason why they don't have a job, and because they don't have a job, they got to earn a living, and how they earn a living? By selling drugs. That's why the prisons are full of them. But you have to really look at the cause. The inner cities of America, run by what's called Democrats. That doesn't mean to say that the Republicans are any better. They're much more sly and clever and sophisticated. They have a way of doing it, but we're not going to talk about that for the time being because it's halfway decent, you know. But it can be less and less decent if we're not careful. I need to attend those people who are attacking the crowd in Chicago now. And I want you, if you're listening, I don't think you are listening. You're too busy wanting to burn people's house down and businesses down and robbing them of their constitutional rights. And you've got to be careful how you approach the attack on the values of this country, which is now very formidable. It was going on for a long time with the small kids. And what you're dealing with is small kids becoming big kids. So if they're born in Borneo, there will be cannibals coming at you. You see? And you can make up as many of those as you want. You're loyal to that which corrupts you. Do you understand you're loyal to what corrupts you? And you cannot get away from it? Eventually, no matter how much you try to get away from it, the struggle to get away from it draws you closer to it. Because you don't understand what you're trying to get away from. I'm going to give you the phone number. And we can argue this stuff out if you want to. But do you understand that you have to have a Jesus stance? Do you know what I mean by a Jesus stance? No matter what they said to him, what they did to him, he did not hate the hurter. Now, he went through the whole Geshmir. Geshmir is a Jewish word, which is everything. He went through the whole Geshmir right to the cross and the suffering and gave his all for that purpose. And then he proved that there was an afterlife because he showed himself. And somebody tried to touch him. He says, not complete, don't touch me. He just made an appearance to a few people who had faith. And I want to share that with you. I can show you that there's a right way of fighting. And there's a wrong way of fighting. And that's the tendency is to react and yield. As I just said, let me read this again. This is Samuel Adams. Let me read again, please. And I'll talk to Lee in Pennsylvania. In just a few minutes. The general disillusion or delusion, that's a better word, of principles and matters will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. Listen to that. Listen to it. But once they lose their virtue, then they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader, Samuel Adams. Is that correct? Now let me ask you, people who want freedom, are you one of them? Are you one of those people that is politically correct? Do you really understand how to deal with temptation, which is about to face you with a tremendous force? Do you understand there's a tremendous force with 59% of the country on welfare to some degree or another? Are you kidding? You're slaves. And you know it. Of course, there's lots of people getting rich on that because they own the people that they've corrupted. And the corrupted owe their allegiance to the corruptors who, you know, those kinds of people, if you're listening, you're one of them, or you're worth, you stupid idiot. What you see, you have been had. I'm telling you the truth, so don't get angry at me. Turn around, but don't get angry at him or those parents who did not know what to do. They are products, and you're the products of them, and it goes through the generations, and pretty soon there's more of them than there is of us, and that's the way it is right now. That's why it's going to be a bloody civil war unless somebody talks to the enemy as not the enemy. Love, don't hate your enemy. I don't like what you're doing. You people on the dark side of the force. You people on welfare. You've been screwed since the day you were born. You women have been programmed to have kids out of wedlock and just feel entitled. Oh, that's spoiled. The person who's entitled becomes the murderer because he can't do anything for himself. The person who's entitled will start to feel angry about being entitled, feeling inferior to those who entitle him, feeling less, not more. And they turn around and throw aside what they got. They don't need any more. They don't need any money, any handouts. They're demoralized to such a degree that they feel that they're kings on a throne. They're entitled, don't you understand? And so they go up to a street to a person in the city and demand money and terrify the person who is being accosted in such a way, and he will give in. I'll tell you a story. There's a certain person on this network. I think he's on this network now. And he drinks a bit, and he goes to Las Vegas. And he came out one day, and he's no angel, you see. He's not planning to be an angel, but he did it right, in a right way. He comes out, and a man puts a gun in his head with his friend. He's walking down the street, and he says, "Give me your wallet." And he says, "Not tonight." He says, "Did you hear what I'm saying? Give me your wallet." He says, "Not tonight." And he says, "Hey, you understand this gun in your face?" He says, "Yes." "Give me your wallet." The person got so upset by not getting his way, he turned on the friend. He said, "You give me the wallet." So the friend gives the wallet. And the man walks away. And his friend says, "Why didn't you give him your wallet?" Hello? Yeah, what's the matter? Yes, David, you want to say it? Okay.
"I forgot my wallet."
was that it? He said, "Well, I didn't have to give it to him, but you did." I remember that because it's perfect. There's something about the ability to stand and look in the face of an adversary, and as they intimidate you, nothing happens. And there's the key to beating, to overcome the overcomer. You got to be very careful not to react to what's going on, but keep going, keep standing up for your right, but not reacting. Well, I do have a caller that's been waiting. I'm sorry, but I've got 3 minutes here. I want you, please, I've told you in the last few months, you only have a few months left for your country because you're not virtuous enough as a whole. You're nice people, And of course, the people on the left are nice people because they don't know how they've been programmed. I'm a professional hypnotist. I can understand. If you give me a big enough loudspeaker, I can undo that. Yes, I put myself in danger, but I can undo that. And I can undo it to the point where they back off. But I have to teach you something. I want you to have the same attitude as the person with the wallet. That not to be intimidated by anything. But that takes a special kind of relationship with the creator. So you got the on the other side, on the left, you have the people who are subject to the inner city fathers, not the Father in heaven. And on this side, we need to be the extension of the Father in heaven. That works. Then you got real evil operating through people. And then you got real good overcoming what has programmed them. And not programming you through fear. And not causing you to want to kill, murder. But to stop the murderer, the killer, because he does not know what he does. Jesus says, while they were killing him, he makes the point. But he doesn't do anything to change it. He wants to make the point. He could have done something then. But it wouldn't be the right way to do it. He had to do it this way. He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Now, that is powerful. It's saying a lot. How is it he cannot hate the hurter, but influence the hurter? One of the hurters was Pontius Pilate. He tried to save him, but he made up his mind he's not going to be saved. And Pontius Pilate, I think it was, he decided, I'm going to save this person. He's not guilty. He just had to sit there quietly and energize a message to him that's stronger than him and stronger than the crowd. See? And invited the crowd that should have been for him to become against him. He changed everything according to the purpose for which he was created. Okay? Now, I have that knowledge, and I'm willing to do what is necessary, but I need your backing. I need some billionaires backing to, or a lot of people giving money to the Foundation of Human Understanding to allow me to gather that, to build the network back up again, has been destroyed. Okay. We got about 400 stations right now. I'm not on all of them. I'm on about 99. That's not good enough. I need to reach the whole country. How do I do that? Because there may not be, after all this, there may not be any country left. Because you have enemies called Americans fighting Americans, people born here. And then you have the forces in the world closing in on our weakness.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
We have a magnificent call. When I say magnificent, on the screen it says, can asthma come from childhood trauma? Well, I'll tell you what that is. This is a good one. This is a good question. Good questions lead to the real answer to things that doctors do not understand. And who the hell do you think I am? I never went to school. I despise school. I always thought people in school, where I went to, a nice school too, there were people, dead people walking around. You couldn't push anything down my mind. Oh, the only way I learned is because I see that. Oh, I see that. That's the only way I've learned. And I've learned about physics, and I've learned how to overcome 95% of all diseases and still Isn't, you know, the soldiers are dying 22 a day. I know how to help them cure themselves in a matter of minutes, hours, or maybe a week or two. They don't have to kill themselves. I'm well known to the military. They don't have the money to, they don't have the right, they don't have the power, that whatever it is they don't have. They know I can do it. It's well known in the military. All right. So you can look at Roy Masters in military, whatever it is. And it will show up somehow. Roy Masters meditation for the military. That would be a way of looking for it, and you'll get it somewhere. All right. So we're going to go to Lee in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry to keep you. Is it Lee? Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hi.
Hi. You're the mother of the child?
No. I'm speaking of myself.
You're speaking of yourself. Well, then it's an easy cure. How old are you?
I just turned 56 February 1st.
And you've had this all your life?
No, I had it for 47 years. I had it since 9.
You had it for 47 years? So that makes you 8 years old?
9. I was 9 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, it came from your mother. Let me see if I can guess something. And you say yes or no. There's two reasons for it, but the same goal, if I may use that word, to cause this sickness of yours. They have the same way of acting, but it is a person, mother, who fusses a lot and doesn't give you time to breathe to be who you are for yourself. Is that correct?
Well, no, not exactly.
What was your mother like? Don't protect her. Do me a favor. Do not protect her. Was she?
I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
Yes, right. You have to gather it because if you have not known it, wouldn't have to gather it. There's got to be an absolute yes or no. Was she cruel? Or was she fussy?
Yeah. Well, she really wasn't there. Put it that way. She wasn't there for me.
She wasn't there for you. That doesn't make sense to me. What kind of woman was she? I know she wasn't there. Lots of people are not there while you're talking to them. So we have to define what being there is and how you perceive it. And as a child, you don't want to hate your mother. So you have in your mind some altered ideas that makes it less guilty of it. Describe your mother, please. Honestly. Right to the point. Was she a good mother or... No, she couldn't have been a good mother. You wouldn't have had asthma. Yes. Just let me play with this. Just start with your mother first. Because I don't think it's your father. Your father fails to overcome your mother, and overcome your mother meaning to overcome the effect she has on you, either being cruel or loving you too much and fussing with you and giving you too much attention and wanting something from you all the time and being pushy, 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 with your hair, do lipstick, all kinds of things are not demanding allegiance from you. Now, that is a picture. Does she fit that picture?
With love, hate, that's the picture that I can best describe it.
Say it again more loudly.
It was a love-hate relationship.
A love-hate relationship, yes. Exactly.
That's the kind of relation.
Okay. Yes. So therefore, I'm correct. Because the love is a result of guilt from your parent. Whatever she did, pick on you, trying to do the nice thing or the, it doesn't matter. The nice things are cruel. Keep pushing you, trying to be nice and making sure everything's all right and making sure you don't have a life of your own. And each time that happens, you secretly resent your mother. And as you secretly resent her as a child, you know what guilt is. But guilt makes you do something. It makes you give in to your mother. And then that's when you're... But now there's a word that starts with A. I always forget it. It's a function of the body that causes you to breathe. And David, you can help me with this one because I always forget. It's when an animal runs and from it, it's a chemistry. It's a chemistry in the body and it just walked away from me. Adrenaline. It starts with an A. And again, when I start with that, it's adrenaline is that which an animal uses to run. And an animal doesn't have to run all day long because it would use up its adrenaline. There's just enough adrenaline in him to give that creature the energy it needs and the breath. Because you know when you're afraid, you can actually feel your breathing being affected. You run or fight, it requires adrenaline. Every time your mother irritated you and pushed herself on you, you got to be upset. That's one thing, adrenaline. Okay. And then you go along and you feel guilty and you go along with your mother. Your mother is emboldened. Oh, she loves me. Your mother needs your love and she intimidates you to get it. She intimidates it two ways. One, she intimidates you by fussing with you. Two, she intimidates you by not loving her enough and being a bully to get her to love, to get you to mind yourself. But she's robbing you of your life force. She's robbing you of that adrenaline because many times in the day, as many times as a day you get upset, the run and fight thing kicks in until you have no adrenaline left or very little. And then you can't breathe. You can't run. You can't breathe. And so the fact that you can't run and you can't get away makes you angry again. Whoops, there's the anger again. There's the adrenaline pouring in, whatever's left. And then you have a stroke with it. You can't breathe. You have to take medicines. You have to take adrenaline. That's what's being... Asthma is an emotional disease. If you can let you go of your mother and everybody who looks like your mother and treats you like your mother, because that's where it is everywhere. In other words, you're programmed. You can't see your own program. You can program an elephant to do exactly what it's told and it's perfectly happy with that. You can charm a snake and make it do what it's to, and program it. You can actually program a slug in the ocean. You can actually, it will begin to react. If you give it electricity and then touch it, if you take that slug out of the mud of the ocean and touch it while you give it a shock of electricity, after a while the touch will create a shock, but there's no electricity to make it happen and you can't stop it. It's conditioning. You are conditioned to give in to people and giving your life to people. That's what asthma is, especially when you get into a close relationship with somebody that's like your mother. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Now, how will meditation heal me?
Meditation will bring you back to your child state in which you were born. You had intuition. You have within you intuition that has all the knowledge of how your life will be according to his will on earth as it is in heaven for each one of us. And the enemy, which your mother was, but she may be just the extension of the enemy all the way back to Paradise Lost because it comes through the generations. So your mother didn't realize what she was doing. All she saw was a sick daughter. And then the more sick you became, the more she tried to fix it. And the more you try to fix it and got angry with yourself. And there goes the adrenaline again. All you have to do is forgive your parent, for she knows not what she does. That's the last cry of Jesus. Forgive your mother, for she knows not what she did. And forgive your father first for not dealing with her and getting in the way of her cruelty, of a need for your life force, because she had a life force, her life destroyed when she was a kid. And she had a bad mother or father. And she made up her mind when she, the little voice in her head, everybody has that same voice. I'm not going to be like my mommy. I'm not going to be like my daddy. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be the best mommy I've ever been. And you're too good. And you demand too much from your kids. Or they don't give you what you want and they try harder. And sooner or later you get to the point where the kid is very small, will start to get react. And then once they react, he begins to give in. And when he gives in, he gives his life force. He gives up his adrenaline. Adrenaline, adrenaline all day long. This and that. And all of a sudden you can't breathe. It's the anger. That's why you need to forgive your parents. It leads to every other disease. I can describe it. That's why I can get it right on the phone, even though you didn't agree with me to begin with. You hid it. You didn't want to see your mother what she was, in the hope of curing yourself. That was in you, not to hide it from, to think your mother is a good woman. She wasn't, but you have to admit it. And what you should admit, that you hated her for it, but you couldn't help it because she set you up to hate her. How else could a child feel experience? But the guilt, that's the part that makes you feel guilty and makes you think to yourself, well, maybe my mother's right. I do need her love. And so you tend to give in for her love, and you do it voluntarily. So not really voluntarily, is it really? It's not really voluntary. It's compulsive. It looks like voluntary love. But every person you meet, like your mother, will trigger you until you don't have a life at all, and then you die. Having never lived the truth, I'm going to give you the right this minute, the power to overcome this in 1 second. It could happen. It's a matter of learning to meditate properly. Do you have my meditation called the 7-minute meditation? Do you have it?
Yes, I do.
Use it properly. Don't use it to cure you. Here it is. Don't use it to cure yourself. The meditation does not cure anything. It delivers you away from temptation. It delivers you. Okay. So, my dear young lady, please use the meditation. Sit quietly. Do not make a demand. Do not think it's going to cure you. The meditation does not do any curing whatsoever. What it does is deliver you to God. It's a system of being still and knowing Him and being drawn back to the time when you were a little girl, when you were really close to God, when you were born, and as the years went by, the effect of your mother grew, and the anger grew, and the life force went to her. And you begin to worship your mother and hate her at the same time. And the more you hated her, the more guilty you were. The more guilty you were, the more you hated her. The more you try to love her. So it goes
Roy,
back.
Can I say something?
Yes. I'm sorry. I just can't stop myself, but go ahead.
That's okay. See, to be honest, I wasn't always with my mom when I was growing up.
Okay.
So she didn't always raise me. So...
Speak a little louder so I can hear you.
She didn't raise me. She didn't rear me up. So it's
who was it that raised you? That's what we're looking for.
My grandparents.
Okay, so if it's not your mother, it's your grandparents. It's your grandma. And if it's a grandpa, it's a grandma, because women tend to spoil. Men and men who are not men tend to have the role of a woman. And to my wife had a father, and he is a no good SOB, but he thought he loved my wife, and she gave him all kinds, he gave her all kinds of things as long as he danced for her. And I didn't like dancing with my wife because something was wrong with it. Now, she didn't know. I remember being on a boat, you know, one of those cruises, and she wanted to dance with me, and I can dance, I know what to do. I just stood still, let her dance around me, and everybody was laughing. I will not dance. But I see why, the reason why she danced is because Daddy liked it. And that's the only good thing he ever did for her. So that's the thing. But at the same time, he used her to like him, even though he had sex in her room, on her bed, with other women. See? But still, he didn't want to see her father in a different light.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, now, young lady, because we're changing who it is, it's the same principle. So who was it that fussed over you? If your mother gave you up to other people and she rejected you, that's a problem of anger. All by itself. And it was your grandmother that made up for your mother's rejection. Something like that. You have to see it for yourself. But I gave you the principle. Somebody irritated you into loving them. And they loved you too much. They fussed too much over you. And they robbed you of your freedom. See, she wanted to shape you. She wanted to be proud of you. And she did. She made you like a princess. But you didn't like it. You resented it. But it looks like love. You have to accept it. But you didn't realize the effect it has on you.
It was debilitating. That's what it was.
Irritating, yes. Irritating you, Bubby.
It weakened me. And to this day, I'm trying to fight. Like I hear you say, fighting for your identity. But I know I can't do it by myself. I know
that's
that.
Right.
I know this.
Yes.
And I have this terrible thing within me where even just being weak in itself, I resent being weak.
That's right. I get it. And then you're using up your adrenaline.
Yes, exactly.
And you don't need anybody present. Just the memory of people having done this to you. Making you weak and resenting your own weakness, adrenaline goes away. I mean, all your adrenaline has died up. The more you think about it, it's like fighting a spirit, invisible spirit. You're resenting your own self, thinking that by resenting yourself, you have the energy to overcome it. You're burning up your energy.
And then when we go to family reunions or whatever, when we were younger, how kids can be cruel.
Sure.
And I would be like the center of attention with like cousins.
There you go.
They would, bring up things and it hurt me. It hurt me bad.
No, it hurts you because you hate them. You got to give up the hate that was put into you because you'll die. Everybody who has hate will die from it, a disease from it, a particular disease depending upon the circumstances and the choices of the way they live. Lifestyle. Different diseases. You're a pretty pure person. You're a very, very pure person. And the only thing you've got to give up is understand that your parents, your mother didn't know what she was doing. She couldn't be bothered with you. Your grandmother taught her to make it up to you and does too much for you until it irritated you and upset you. And everybody, every time you go into a crowd of people where people... Because you're putting up on a nice front. You're a really nice person. You really want to be a nice person. You want to be loved. But when you're loved, look what that love does to you. It's the same thing as what's taking your life away. It's robbing you, being loved. There was a Robin Williams who committed suicide because too many people loved him. He loved his funny, his jokes. They loved whatever it is he did to make people happy. And after a while, he couldn't make happy. He got angry at the people that loved him for his being funny, being an entertainer. But deep down inside, he hated it because he felt the pull to be better still.
So
There it is.
So did Michael Jackson. So did Michael Jackson.
All of them are the same. And we don't want it to be you, young lady. Use the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the meditation and sit quietly. Expect nothing. Do not expect the cure. But the whole purpose is to introduce you back to where you were when you were a little girl. And Jesus says it clearly, unless you return and become as a little child, even in your grown-up body, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't look. See, the love you got isn't really love. It's possession. I also have a little girl that always calls me. She says, the very first time, her name is Maggie. And she said, my grandma wants to give me something nice. And is it okay to say no to the gifts? I know. I said, do you feel the pull? She says, yes, I do. I said, do you think you could say no to your grandma? And knowing that she's going to be angry with you and throw all the toys away into the garbage can? Can you be calm? She says, yes, Grandpa, I can do that. At 7 years old, that's what she did. And grandmother got so angry, because I know that person is a wicked person. She got so angry, she couldn't get to the kid. And it frustrated her. And she threw all the toys in the garbage and ran away and never came back. That's the way you overcome the overcomer. So you have to learn not to look for love, because the tendency is to look for love. And that's the very thing that's going to kill you, because it's the wrong kind of love. There's right kinds of love and wrong kinds of love. See?
It's so easy to be deviated from good.
It is, because all the bad people on earth, the politicians, the ISIS people, the Nazis, any group of people you can name, you can see the effect of their birth wrong. The cannibals. If you're born in Borneo, you'd be a cannibal. You'd have no future. And when you grow up to be a woman, you'll give birth to a child that would have been a scientist. See, in America, if he had an opportunity, but she becomes a cannibal and she can't see anything else and she doesn't see herself any other way. And you have to understand, the average person does not know they're being programmed to program, to do unto others what was done unto you. You'll always find people doing unto others what was done to them. See? And so you go to your Christmas dinner with your family, and there they are again making fuss of you and pulling on you for that. You can't help yourself because you need love. You need love, and that will kill you because it's the wrong kind of love. Hello, everybody. Please support my program. See this young lady? If she goes and does the meditation, tomorrow morning she'll be fine. She'll begin to be fine when she stops being angry with herself and then looking for approval, which is only natural because something's missing. But something missing is what's destroyed her. But she's become what she hated, so therefore she has to go back to the scene of the crime to get more of what looks like love, which is form of slavery. It's the same as drinking and drugs. Okay, now please support my program. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. As we send checks, Post Office Box, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97526, and the phone number in the office 800-877. But too late.